Turning your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. We're going to still continue in our series that we've been talking about the comfort of the Holy Spirit. If you've been with us in the past few Sundays and Wednesdays, we've been talking about the benefit, the person of who the Holy Spirit is. He's more than a dove. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
He is more than an idea. He's more than a goosebump. He's more than a prayer language. He's more than what a lot of people in the church world look at. He's more than being slain in the Spirit. He's more than just a church service. He's the third person of the Trinity. This is all in review of prior messages. Again, we hand out CDs every week that for free just to invest in your life. But any of the messages are on iTunes or on the website for free. So you can always listen to that. But I want to encourage you, as you're taking notes, make notes so you can go back and reflect. Because just if we're not careful, what we hear a lot of tends to get ingrained on how we see and think. Let me say that again. You can hear something so many times. The faith comes by hearing. But faith on anything comes by hearing. And you can hear something so many times that it becomes a reality to you, even though it's not truth. Jesus told the disciples, be careful of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They perceived that as, we forgot to bring food last time. He's reminding us to bring food. And he's like, you're missing it. He said, be careful of the teachings of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Because if you listen to wrong teaching enough, you'll think it's right teaching. And you can be religiously brainwashed and not spiritually or biblically taught. That's a challenge for all of us. Just because someone's on TV, just because someone's speaking or someone's preaching or is in ministry doesn't mean that they deserve to have your ear and you to listen to what they say. Because you might not want what they have. All we see is in the natural, on the outside, but you might not want what's going on in their life because they might not be the real deal or they might not be speaking truth. They just might be speaking what they've heard or doctrine. A lot of people can tell me what the church doctrine states, but they can't tell me what the Bible says. It doesn't matter what any church states. It doesn't matter what any preacher says. It's what does the Bible say? Show me in the Bible. We tell you, and we encourage you never to argue with people because arguing never really gets anywhere. We've all figured that out, right? Or maybe you're in that process. I used to love to argue, but just because you could argue with somebody and they'll argue with you or debate with you doesn't mean that it's going to come to a positive end. In fact, the Bible says it engenders strife. It'll create strife. I used to love to argue when I was younger. I used to even argue and knew I was wrong, but just see how good I could argue. Just to do it. Because, you know, I mean, you can become better at arguing. But that doesn't mean you're right. So we have to learn to stick to the word, challenge everything with the word of God. And people come and say, oh, that's not, this is what's true. And say, just ask them, show me in the Bible. We should all be open to learn. I mean, if there's something in the Bible I don't know, and let me help you out, there is. We're all learning. We're all growing. No one comes to where they can, I don't care if you can quote the whole Bible. I mean, there's passages I've known for years and quoted and preached out of, and I'll read it again, and whoa, I didn't see that before. The Bible's like layers. It's like mining. It's like digging for oil. I mean, you get something at one time, and a year later, all of a sudden, the same verse, same passage, just, I didn't see that.
Yes.
You can go deeper and deeper. Just because you can even quote it. But if someone says, oh no, this is what it's about, just ask them, show me the Bible. Well, it's in there somewhere. Well, that's the way I remember it. Well, show me the chapter and verse. I want to read it for myself. If they can't show you, say, well, listen, go prepare. And next time we talk, bring it, show me. You might not see them again. Because we all have opinions, but we all don't have truth. It's the truth that we know that brings liberty and freedom in our lives. And so there's a lot of different teachings out there. And we encourage you, and no one's perfect. We're all growing. I don't care what church, what preacher, what denomination, what anything, everybody should be growing. No one's perfect and knows everything about it, everything. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
Unless you believe you're like the elite and you know everything. And God bless you. We're honored to have you here. How intimidating that is. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, there's so many different perspectives or teachings, and for lack of a better phrase, I'll say misteachings about the Holy Spirit. He's more than an emotion. He's more than an idea. He's more than a goosebump. He's more than a dance or a prayer. For lack of a better phrase, you can call him, he is the senior partner for you, if you allow him to be, in the rhythm of life. Not just going to church, but in ministry, in life, in prayer, in serving God, in helping others. The Holy Spirit can help you in your business. He can help you in your parenting. He can help you, give you insight. He can show you. Now, can you imagine, come on, parents, if you had teenagers and the teenagers start doing stuff and not tell you, then they come home and you look at them and say, the Lord spoke to me and showed me. See, I grew up in a home that if we messed up, the Lord usually told my mom or dad. I'll tell a story. I don't think my brother's here tonight, so I can tell on him. See, if he would come to church on Wednesday nights, I wouldn't have to tell him a story. But I remember when he was a young teenager and some friends got him to go to a movie that he wasn't supposed to be in. Come on now. And the Lord showed, the Holy Spirit showed my mom not only that he was in a movie he shouldn't be at, showed her the theater and which theater in the theater. And when the movie's starting, all of a sudden, a friend of his who worked at the theater came and tapped him on his shoulder and said, David, what? Your mom's back here. We're looking for you. Now, that'll freak you out a little bit, wouldn't you? I got more stories to tell about David, but I won't do that tonight. We'll have to edit that out. But I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit co-labors with you and can work in every facet of your life, allowing you to be more than just who you are, because it's God's ability. Jesus said, I'm sending it to your benefit, that I'm sending the comforter, the paraclete, one to take my place, to represent me. Tonight I want to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. We talked before about the fruit of the Spirit, which is character. And that is so imperative, because the gifts without the character will cause you to look like you're successful, but you're in a future demise. Why do you see some people and they go way up and then they collapse? Because their character took them where their gifts took them where their character couldn't keep them. They didn't have the foundation of character when they started rising to that level that their gifts were taking them to. And this is in any facet of life, but I'm telling you, you can be a great musician, you can be a great athlete, you can be a great businessman, and your gifts can take you to a level before kings. The Bible says your gift will make room for you. It'll take you before prominent, important people. And that is a wonderful thing, but if we don't learn to build character, then we'll get up there and we'll start thinking it's all about us. We'll start treating people wrong, and one day we'll wake up and everything will collapse because our gifts took us where character couldn't keep us. So we did the message on the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is not a wish list. It's not a to-do list. It's not a standard to strive for. It's the results of the Holy Spirit in your life. And one of the very first fruits are results of the Holy Spirit. Fruit means results in the fruit of the Spirit is what? Oh, get the CD. Get the CD. Get the word in your heart. Because if we don't know it, we can't remember it. Matthew 13 says that's a tactic of the devil to steal it from your life. And if you don't remember it, then it can't produce a change. You never will benefit from it. Well, one of the fruits of the Spirit, the very first one, listen, is love. Well, we've all been around people that were supposed to be super spiritual, but they didn't walk in love. So before we could talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, specifically what we see in 1 Corinthians 12, we had to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Because if all you strive for is to be used by God in gifts and not learn to become more Christ-like, then the gifts can bring you and develop you to a place of visibility, but without character, you'll fall. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. He's being very specific. God does not want you to be ignorant. The gifts of the Spirit, just like the operation of the Holy Spirit, is not nutty, flaky, weird. It's not spooky. There's spooky, weird, crazy, nutty, fruity people in the church, but that's not the Holy Spirit. Same way with the gifts of the Spirit. They don't have to be weird. They don't have to be weird. A danger in the church is that we start making God something he's not, and we make him weird. Or we try to force everything. You don't have to force everything. Just trust God. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. He doesn't want us to be ignorant. Let's go to verse 7. But the manifestation, let me back up to verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Holy Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but it's the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works all in all. But the verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Other translation says, to build up, to benefit the body. Let me keep reading. Verse 8. Now, I want you to stick with me because this is not just for full-time ministers. This is just not for ministers. This is for every believer. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophesying. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will, as the Holy Spirit wills. So the Holy Spirit chooses who he's going to give these gifts to. But we see in the following chapters, and I encourage you to read, 1 Corinthians 11, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 13, and 1 Corinthians 14. They all come together. And we see that it says for us to desire earnestly the gifts of the Spirit. This is something that as believers we should desire. But and we talked about this in past reference, that these gifts are different than the spiritual attributes. Because we know there is a gift of faith. But we also know from Scripture that to every person who's saved, that every person's been given a measure of faith. Well, there's two different things going on here. When you get saved, everyone's given a measure of faith. What you do with that faith, to build that faith, to exercise that faith, to develop that faith, to walk out that faith, determines your victory in life and your success in life and your walk with God. So everybody, when they accept Jesus, receive a measure of faith. But not everybody receives the gift of faith. It looks like the measure of faith, but it's been supernaturally advanced. Word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. There's basically, you can break them up into three different categories. You have the power gifts, you have the vocal gifts, and you have the knowledge gifts. The word of wisdom. The word of knowledge and the discerning of spirits. That is the having the insight from God. Now, people, different people interpret those differently. Some talk about wisdom and knowledge as a future and past event. Some talk about insight of information, and others the application of that information, because wisdom is not just knowledge, but how to apply the knowledge. Either way, but at the end of the day, it's the Holy Spirit revealing to you, showing you. Could be future things to come, past things. Could be insight about a situation in someone's life. Now, I don't believe the Holy Spirit will, as you operate in those gifts, that you walk around and you know people's dirt. I know what you've been doing last night. But we have, and I'll get into why in a few seconds. But we have the knowledge gifts. We have the vocal gifts. Tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. We have the power gifts, faith, the gifts of healing, and the working of miracles. Wouldn't it be cool to operate in the gift of healing? When you came across somebody who was sick? Now, if you don't have that gift yet, and you want it, you can ask for it, you desire it. But if you don't have that gift, or you've received it and you're developing it, then you grow with it. But even if you don't have it, it doesn't mean that you can't pray for the sick, because Mark 16, Jesus said, whosoever believes. See, there's a praying of laying hands on the sick because you're a believer. But there's also a gift. There's a gift of healing. I choose to separate those two. Because I know that I can pray in my own personal life that I prayed with people and I did it based on obedience to the word of God that came to me and said, I need prayer, and I prayed for them. But I also have been in my own personal life ministry times where I sense that gift in my spirit stir up and someone pull on it, and I just learn how to operate and yield to the Holy Spirit and to pray for them and to release healing actually into their life. But now, tonight I want to emphasize not so much the gifts, I want to emphasize the purpose of the gifts. And that's what we're going to talk about over the next 10, 20 minutes. What's the purpose of these gifts? Because if I look around to the typical church, spirit-filled church, then the purpose of the gifts of the Spirit is to dictate dominance of who's the most important in the church. The gifts of the Spirit are used to identify the celebrities in the church. The gifts of the Spirit are there to identify really who's the one in control in the church. Well, I don't know what the pastor's deal is because, you know, I'm a prophetess and he should, and God told me and he's not listening. He's not following. Come on, don't shut me down. That's witchcraft. That's rebellion. Yeah, but you don't understand. Listen, you can hear one time and miss it the next time. Jesus talked to Peter. Let me give you a reference just so you know it's not my opinion. Jesus was talking to Peter and said, whom do men say that I am? Then who do you say that I am? And he said, you're the Christ, Son of the Blessed One. And Jesus said, Simon, flesh and blood, which means people haven't given you that idea, but that revelation came from the Father. And I'm going to change your name from Simon to Petros or Peter or rock. And upon that rock of revelation, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. He heard from God. Jesus said, you heard from the Father. Well, down the road, Jesus, in the near future, Jesus begins to say, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to Jerusalem, and I'm going to die. And Peter pulls him off to the side, the King James says, and pulled him off the side and said, Lord, we'll never let that happen. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. Boy, talk about a promotion and a demotion. Because just because you heard from God before doesn't mean the next thing you heard from God is really God. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? See, in some circles, pastors get their hands tied because they're afraid because Sister So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so, who's operating in the gifts of the Spirit, everybody looks and that, oh, they're super spiritual. They operate in the gifts. And all of a sudden, the pastor comes in a disagreement. He says, I feel like the Lord's leading us to do this, but prophet or apostle or anointed or gifted or celebrity, come on, somebody. Elder shows up and says, Pastor, that's not what the Lord spoke to me. You know, I've been leading this prayer group for many years, and we've been praying for you, and the Lord's showing us that's not what God, that we should be doing. See, that's a Jezebel spirit. That's a spirit that wants to break rank of authority, to make themselves look super spiritual. Oh, you know what? We need to pray for the pastor because he's not really hearing God. God showed me what to do. And I told him, and he didn't accept it at all. He said, you know what? I don't think he's into the move of God anymore. Getting quiet. Some of us have been around those conversations. I just don't think he's into the, I don't think he or she is into the anointing of God. Now, I can say this openly because this is not happening here. Okay, one of the things I learned from my dad, I never preach a problem. So anytime I'm preaching on a subject and hitting something hard, you know that it's not a bad conversation I had the day before with somebody else, and now I'm bringing it to everybody's attention. Okay? And if that's going on, I'm totally unaware of it. After my security team get a hold of them, they will not. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. Don't need security. I got Jesus. Whack! But I'm just bringing some balance to this because if you're in the church world long enough, you will come across people who will think that the gifts of the Spirit are for them to create, to get a stronger vote or stronger opinion or stronger influence or to be a celebrity or to control the direction of the church. And that's not the benefit or the purpose of the gifts of the Spirit. That stuff short circuits, and all of a sudden people who all of a sudden they like the attention of, oh, you ought to go to that person because, woo, they hear from God, and they might, and praise God. That's awesome. But all of a sudden they start allowing the carnality of their side, of their flesh, to be fed on that, and now they just start thinking they should run the ship. Right. Oh, they don't know who I am or what I can do or what God's called me to do. Let me help you out. God didn't call you to break rank. God didn't call you to create division. God didn't call you to split churches. It always cracks me up when you see one church and the associate splits a church. And then goes down the road and names the church the same name and puts the word greater in front of it. You ever notice that? Help me, Jesus. And we'll do that in the name of God. That's not a plan of God. What's the purpose? Now, if you go down the road and see the church with the word greater on it, that doesn't mean the pastor there split the church. That could have happened way, way, way before, all right? But what is the purpose of the gifts of the Spirit? Because if we don't understand it, we'll just gravitate and say, oh, it's for to identify the super spiritual. It's there to identify who's in charge. It's there to create someone who's a celebrity. I'll just go to Prophetess so-and-so. She's always got a word. Every service, we don't have to look for God. We'll just give her the mic. Am I just being plain with you? Am I being real? Are you uncomfortable? Are you bored? Or are you just... What is the purpose of the gifts of the Spirit? Let's go to Mark 16. Hallelujah. Does that mean if someone gets off that they were wrong all the, before? No. Just like Peter. But if you think God's going to anoint you to break rank of authority, or to create division, or create confusion, that's not the Holy Ghost. Let's get quiet. What many call the Jezebel spirit. It tries to look super spiritual. Are you with me? Okay. Mark 16. Jesus is sending the disciples out, giving instructions here. Verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And like I said before, just so we're all on the same page, that doesn't mean you should go out and buy a snake and handle a snake. It's saying, basically, better context, that if you got bit by a snake while you're doing what God's called you to do, God's going to protect you. It didn't mean go out and buy a bag full of snakes and walk around, and some churches do that. They just don't understand. You got to handle a snake to be spiritual. Well, I always, you know what I mean, if they're really honest with themselves, what they don't always tell people, especially the new ones that just joined the church and don't know any better, is that they keep the snakes in the back in a refrigerator before service. Do you know why they do that? Because a cold snake is a sleepy snake. They don't move. They don't bite. They don't do much. But a warm snake, when you're holding, will bite you. So the first guy holding that cold snake is pretty safe. The last guy at the end, the last person at the end, guy or woman, that's in line to hold that same snake, by the time he or she gets to it, it's been held long enough that the heat from the hands has warmed it up. So the person at the end, and they always put based on rank of who's supposed to be more spiritual, and the person at the end pretty much going to get bit. And they'll say, well, where's your faith? I didn't get bit. Yeah, but you held him when he was an ice cube. He was a popsicle when you handled him. I got him when he's ticked. Come on, somebody. Okay, so where were we? So then after that, the Lord had spoken unto them. He was received into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth, preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, notice this, and confirming the word with signs following. One of the purposes is that the signs, the gifts of the Spirit, are to confirm the word. Hebrews chapter 10. Let me give you another verse on that. Hebrews chapter. Are you at Hebrews? No one. You didn't bring your Bible tonight? You put it on the screen. It's good to bring your Bible. You can write it. You can't write it on the screen. If you do, please stop. It's not good on the screen. Hebrews 2. Hebrews, yeah, what I said before. Oh, no, come on. You knew what I meant. I'm joking. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and the gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. So those two scriptures, we see that God uses the gifts of the Spirit, signs and wonders and miracles, to confirm his word. Not your word, his word. Not your word, his word. He confirms his word with signs and wonders and gifts of the Spirit as he wills. Now, obviously, people can get and make a difference in that. Jesus could do no mighty signs and wonders or miracles because in his own hometown because of their unbelief. But God backs his word with his power. Did you hear me? Yeah. Let me give you another purpose. 1 Corinthians 12. Let's go back there. But the manifestation of the Spirit, verse 7, but the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Better translation says, for the benefit of the body. For the benefit of the body. And that's why in verse 12, after it talks about the gifts of the Spirit, it goes in and says, for as the body is one, it has many members, and it goes into a whole teaching about how we are all part of a body. We're not all the same. If we were all the same, it wouldn't be a body. But we all come together with the gifts and the anointing and the revelation that God gives us. And as we come together, the body can function, building itself up in love. If you study this, and especially 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14 talks about the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about the motivation for the gifts of the Spirit. The motivation for the gifts of the Spirit should be love. That's why he says, listen, covet earnestly the best gifts, but let me show you a better way. 1 Corinthians, then you go into 1 Corinthians 13, and it talks about that you could have an ability to be a great speaker, but if you don't have love, it doesn't benefit. You can give everything to the poor, but if you don't do it by the motivation of love, it does not benefit you. You can prophesy and speak in tongues, and you can have wisdom and answer all the problems of the world, but if it's not done by the right motivation. See, I think, unfortunately, there's some good people that are sincere but got off the right track onto the wrong track, and they're going to be basing everything just on what they have done, and they've lost the right motivation. They'll wake up one day, and God said, listen, you did it for the wrong motivation. You don't get anything out of this. There's no rewards, no benefit to you. Let's look at chapter 14. Let's just start at the last verse at 13. Verse 13. And now abides faith, hope, and love. These three, and the greatest of these is love. Verse 1 of 14. So follow after love and desire spiritual gifts. It's not to ignore the spiritual gifts. They're good for you. There's a benefit to you. It's a benefit to the body of Christ. I mean, to know the mind of God, to be able to pray, to be able to get answers and operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Just not in a church service, but in life. Doesn't mean you get spooky and weird and make everybody stop or wait for goosebumps, but all of a sudden the Holy Spirit can show you things to come before you even knew it was coming. He can give you wisdom and insight on family. You know, you've been on my heart lately. Well, I'm just so glad you called. The Holy Spirit can lead and guide you, and you don't always realize it's the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you. Well, I told a funny story on my brother. Let me tell another one, but on the flip side. I was talking to one of our men in the church, and years ago when he was single and he found himself in another state and struggling to serve God. He was all by himself, had no Christian friends, and really didn't know anybody. He just found himself in that struggle, and he began to pray. And he said, Lord, I know you're real. I feel like I'm missing you. I need your help. I need you to bring a friend into my life. I need you to do something. And it was that evening, my brother called him and said, hey, just let you know, I just moved into this town, the same town. God can answer prayers and redirect you and place people on your heart. You didn't know why you keep thinking about somebody. Maybe it's the Holy Ghost. Maybe you need to give them a call. Did you hear me? Don't have to be spooky. Just like they're on your heart for some reason. Give them a call. I don't know why you've been on my heart. Give them a call. Maybe it's the Holy Ghost telling you to reach out. Maybe they're going through something and saying, God, I need a friend. I need somebody to call me. I need somebody to encourage me. I need somebody to be praying for me. Lord, show me. Show me that you're real. And all of a sudden, the phone rings and it's you. Hey, I've been thinking about you. What's going on? Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts. And then it goes that, but rather that you may prophesy, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, how being in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. We taught about this a few weeks ago. But he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification and to exhortation and to comfort. Notice that the specific, you could say, gift of prophecy is spoken unto men to what? To edify, which means to build up, to exhort, and to comfort. Let me say that again. To edify, to exhort, and to comfort. I don't see anywhere that it says that a man prophesies or a person prophesies and speaks unto men to control, to manipulate. To edify and exhort and comfort themselves. No. Let me just get real. To edify, to exhort and comfort their pocketbook. And that's what I'm saying. We don't do a $5 prayer line and a $50 prayer line and a $500 prayer line. I can talk to you like this on Wednesday nights because you guys are a little more mature than the average person, Christian, who comes on Sunday morning. Just to get a spiritual snack. I'm just being real with you. Did you hear me? They keep being quiet. They're going to wonder who's in here. And I'm going to change the way I talk. You guys are scaring me a little bit. But I'm just being honest with you. I'm not saying those people are bad people. I just think that they're sincere. I'll just leave it there. We give everybody the benefit of the doubt that they're sincere, but sincerely wrong. You can't find a scripture that says that there's a $5 prayer line and a $50 prayer line, $100 prayer line. That's just ridiculous. That's not in the Bible. That's manipulating people. I don't know. I get on this little road. It annoys me when I see people say, I gave $1,000, not everybody on TV, why don't you just call in right now and give $1,000? Well, you have $12 million in your checking account and you gave $1,000. You cheapskate. And you act like you did a big deal because you gave a 0.5% of what you made last week. And you're asking some people to give what they made in a whole month. I don't know. I just need counsel and prayer or something. I'm just being real with you. It annoys me when people use the gifts of the Spirit to manipulate people and control people. That's not what that scripture says. Prophecy, the gift of prophecy, is not to manipulate people to comfort themselves or to promote their own checkbook. And God wants you blessed. Yes. Did you hear me? Let me say that again. God wants you blessed. Let me say it again. And God also wants the men and women of God blessed. Can I get an amen? God doesn't want you blessed and the men and women of God struggling financially. That's not according to the Bible. According to my Bible, the anointing that God places upon me and my wife over this house trickles down because the anointing on Aaron trickled down the beard and went all the way down. You better want God to be blessing us. That demon that got into religion saying, God, you keep the pastor humble, we'll keep him poor. That's a lie of the devil. Did you hear me? You better be praying for your pastors. And it's not all about money. Get real. Now, people will take it into that. And they're manipulating. Their hearts aren't pure. I'm telling you, one of the key things you can develop as a child of God is according to Matthew 13 talks about the seed. And we looked at Luke's gospel, and it says those who produced a 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit are those that had an honest and good heart. An honest and a good heart. But I'm talented. But if your heart's not honest and good, you will not produce fruit. The measurement is on the fruit. That's what gets glory to your Father. Are you producing fruit? But a lot of people know me. I got a big friend list on Facebook. It don't matter. Is your heart honest? Because somewhere down the road, if your heart is not honest and good, you're going to produce for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. out of the treasure of your heart, a man will bring stuff and good and old or new and old. It's coming from the heart. Jesus looked at the Pharisees, Sadducees, said, you look great on the outside, but inside you're dead men's bones. Oh, God, show us mercy a little bit longer so our hearts can make sure our hearts are right. Because we know what we tell people. They hear what we say and they see what we do. But God knows the intent, Proverbs tells us, of our heart. He told Samuel, you judge on the outside. I see the man's heart. Praise God, you can sing and you need to work on that. Praise God, God's blessed you to make money, and praise God for that. But your priority is make sure your heart's right. You might not be perfect. I'd rather have somebody with a good and honest heart that has issues they're growing and God's bringing them through than someone who acts like they got it all together and they're just doing nothing more than playing the church religious game because they know inside their heart's not right. And you can have an honest and good heart. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Don't get me wrong. Don't mean you don't deal with challenges or headaches or crazy people or crazy situations or you're keeping yourself in check from time to time. Paul says, daily I have to put my flesh under. That means for you and I, maybe 2-3 times a day. Come on, somebody. Let's get back to the word. For he that speaks the unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. The church. What's the purpose we see from this? For the building up of the body. For the building up of the body. For that when we do it to promote ourselves, when we do it to look good in front of people, and I'm telling you, the fear of man is one of the greatest challenges in the church world. The devil knows all the tools. He's dumb, but he's not stupid. Because one of the challenges is for us to do stuff trying to look for people's approval. Someone to say, oh, you did a good job. Oh, I feel so much better about it. They told me I did a good job. Well, wait a minute. Who really do you want approval from? Because there'll be times that God will ask you and direct you to say something or do something that they might not pat you on the back. Jesus preached one time and they all left. And that was Jesus. Right? You can't be any better in preaching than Jesus. You can't be a better teacher than Jesus. You can't know the word better than Jesus. And he already said that everything I hear is not my words, it's what the Father said. So the Father spoke to him, told him what to say, and they all left. That will shock us. God forbid. Preach a great message on Sunday, come back next Sunday, everybody's gone. What happened? They all left. Why? Because of human tendency, if we're not careful, is we look for the approval of people. We all deal with that. It's just when you bring somebody or you're with your friends and the Lord speaks to your heart, pray for them. You're like, oh, Lord, what if it don't work? I look so silly. Well, no, see, that's your man. Those are just natural challenges we deal with. But the benefit of the gifts is to confirm the word and to build up the body. To confirm the word and to build up the body. To confirm the word and to build up the body. Not to create a upper class or first class citizenship in the kingdom. Did you hear me? Because we want you to operate and have the fruit of the Spirit develop in your life, and we want you to be sensitive and obedient to the voice and person of the Holy Spirit in your life, and we want you operating in the gifts as you have that desire of the Holy Spirit in your life, but we have to make sure that we keep it in balance, that it's not so you can look better than somebody else. That's where pride gets in. It's for the building up, the confirming of the word of God, and the building up of the body. That was so important to Paul that he said, listen, I'd rather you not pray in tongues when you're in the church corporately. I'd rather you prophesy, because when you prophesy, people can understand it and they can be built up. In one passage, just for clarity, he said, I want you to know, because people will read that and say, see, Paul was against praying in tongues. No, Paul says, I pray in tongues more than you all. But I would rather say 5 words that people understood than 5,000 that no one benefited from. in the body, in the corporate setting. Did you hear me? It's amazing how people will judge things so quickly. Oh, they must not believe in the Holy Ghost because not everybody's at the altars praying in tongues for 4 hours on Sunday morning.
Ooh-wee! Come on.
I love people. I love people. We'll put so much emphasis on the gifts of the Spirit on Sunday morning, and we won't operate in the gifts of the Spirit on Monday morning. They'll label us as, oh, they must be, you know, they're growing and seeing a lot of people get saved. They must be seeker sensitive. They got quiet. Some of you are like, what's seeker sensitive? Some of you are like, I thought we were. Well, come on. The gifts of the Spirit are just not for a service. The gifts of the Spirit is part of the rhythm of life, a tool that God's given you so that you can walk and operate in the gifts of the Spirit even when you're not in church. We have put it so much in church, and I've been down the road that it was all just about an hour or an hour and a half, and after that, we didn't think about it. That's not of God. I want God to use me anytime He wants to use me. If it means the middle of the night, and the Lord shows you something so you can intercede for people and not just get a gossip line, I mean prayer line, I mean know what other people are dealing. See, we have a prayer chain around here. So I'm not against that. I am against people wanting to be on the prayer chain just so they can know what's going on. And not because they really have a heart's desire to pray for people. Because the benefit of the gifts is for the building up of the body, motivated by 1 Corinthians 13, love, and not for our own ambitions. Did you hear me? Edifying and confirming. Edifying and confirming. Edifying and confirming. Building up and validating. Validating what God is doing in His Word and building up the body of Christ. Building up people in their faith, in their walk, to let them know that Jesus still is alive. Jesus still can heal. It's a real deal. It's not flaky. It's not nutty. It's a real deal. Did you hear me? We got to get past the height of emotion and think it only the Holy Spirit can only operate when we have a high emotion. Because you'll miss out a lot of good times in your normal moments that could be a God moment if we're just open for the Holy Spirit to direct us out there. Jesus sent them out there and said, this is so important. Before you go, I'm commanding you to wait here before you go out there. What am I waiting for? You're going to wait for the Holy Spirit who's going to give you power. But don't go out there until you need to wait here. I command you to wait here before you go out there because you need this power. You need this. Just not in here. You need it out there. We flip the switch. We walk out the door, we flip the switch, we take our church hat off, we go back to out there without what we're supposed to be getting in here. And we don't flip the switch until we come back in here, and then we flip on the spiritual switch and put on our Jesus hat and pray in tongues, and we think we got it down, and then we walk out the doors, and we take off the hat and flip the switch, and we're not open anymore. And it's about what you receive in here, taking it out there, because that's where you need it. Yeah. So that you can reach people. Not be weird, but reach people with the presence and power of God. Amen?
Amen?
I mean, the Lord can show you. He can direct you on where people, criminals are. You'll know exactly where to go. Wouldn't that be cool to say, wait a minute, I'm not going to tell you why. Let me check here. You find him. He's a police officer, so just mind your own business. I mean, he can direct you a different route. You didn't know why, and all of a sudden, you missed a whole accident. You don't know what you've missed. Some of you didn't know. You're practicing the presence of God, and you just thought, oh, I just must be wasting my time. I waited a little longer. I left early. I went a different route. You don't know what things that God delivered and protected you from. 9/11 was a horrendous event in our country. But when you start figuring out how many people should have been in that building, and every person who died is a travesty. Every person who died is a disaster. But I'm telling you, there were so many thousands of people that later said, you know, I just called in sick today. But I just felt like I was praying, and the Lord directed me to go a different route that day. Lives changed. We have to bring the flow of the gifts of the Spirit and the anointing of God, just not on a church service. We got to learn to operate in this, not be spooky or weird, but operate in the gifts of the Spirit, in the rhythm of life, so we can reach the unchurched and the unsaved, and we'll operate and do what God's called us to do. Let me tell you, what kind of threat will you be to the devil if every time he tries to set up something against you, the Lord shows you before and you don't even go there? Can you imagine? It'd be like, I shouldn't bring this up because it's more news. It'd be like the guy that was that's hiding out in Russia. You hear about that. And he had a plane ticket to go to Cuba, 12-hour flight. And it got out. And so a whole group of reporters booked a ticket on that flight for 12 hours to get an interview. And when they got on that flight and it took off, he wasn't even on the seat where they bought the ticket. So they were stuck for 12 hours waiting to get off a flight that it was. Can you imagine? The devil said, man, we sent demons there to mess with them. They didn't show up. They went a different route. What are we going to do? They're stuck over here messing with stuff, and you totally missed it because you were just following God. It doesn't mean you have to, ooh, Lord, oh, Lord, which way should... Don't be weird. Don't get weird. Don't get through a drive-thru and take 10 minutes to figure out, Holy Spirit, should I get number one? Should I get extra fries? Should I supersize the Jesus? Or should I go, don't be weird. That's what we've got to find that balance. That's why you need character. That's why you need the Word. The Word will stabilize you. One of the biggest challenges in balance, I'm just being real with you. One of the biggest challenges in believers in maturity and finding balance is they tend to gravitate to one extreme where they're naturally gifted in, and they'll spend all their time in the Word, but nothing with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And so they know, but they become really stoic and no boundaries and legalization, but no life. And then you get people that so jump into praying in the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and know the things of God, but they don't get the Word. And so they're flaky and flighty, and they flew. Have you ever noticed these people? And some of them, not everybody, but they'll be flaky and flighty. And they'll wake up and they'll come to church and say, oh, Pastor, I woke up. I don't really belong to church. I wake up every Sunday and let the Holy Spirit guide me what church. I'm telling you, that's the stupidest thing. That is foolishness. That's a lie of the devil. That's like saying to your spouse, oh, I don't want to be married. I just wake up and let the Holy Spirit show me who to go to bed with that night. That's a lie of the devil. You better be careful who you show up and where you go. Oh, the Lord, I don't need to go to church anymore. It's me and the Holy Ghost. We have church ourselves. Yeah, but that's why Jesus created the body. He created the church. We didn't. That's God's idea. In context of the Holy Spirit. So there's a balance. Did you hear me? I don't mean to step on your toes, but I love you. There's a balance. And there's always that struggle, because if you gravitate to one, you only want to do one side. And I've been there. You pray in tongues all the time, and you operate and become sensitive to the Holy Spirit, but there's not enough Word to stabilize you, to bring balance. And all of a sudden, you're looking for a voice in every place you go. And the devil will accommodate you. It can be dangerous just looking for a voice. I'm just looking for a voice to give me. Well, praise God, the Holy Spirit can speak to your heart clearly. But if he's not speaking to your heart clearly and you keep pressing, looking for the voice, a spirit will step in, a demon will step in and accommodate you. It got quiet. It was so important that Paul says, listen, I don't care if an angel shows up and preaches a different gospel when I'm preaching. That's not of God. Because we can get so caught up in the spectacular and miss it because we don't understand what the Word says. If it's just on the spectacular, the Bible says that the devil knows how to demonstrate and do signs and wonders, and the Antichrist will operate with his power and do lying, deceiving signs and wonders, and many will be deceived because they don't know enough of the Word to know that what he is saying is not in line with what the Word says. You better get the Word. This is the foundation to build on. We need them both. You need them both. You got to learn to pray. You got to learn to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. You got to learn to speak when He tells you to speak. But it just, if you're not picking up anything, you don't need to be looking. I mean, one of the things you learn, especially operating in the word of knowledge, and this is just, I mean, this is from what I've learned. This is from mentors in my life. This is from my own training and my own. If you're looking and operating gifts of the Spirit, if you're not careful, the pressure of the people for you to perform will cause you to begin to look. And there is such a thing as a familiar spirit. A familiar spirit is an evil spirit that will give you information about people that's natural because they can look and read your stuff too. Now, the devil doesn't know everything. See, the devil's not like God. God knows everything. Demons and the devil don't know everything, but they can hear you talk. They can monitor you, watch you, and see what you write and talk. And, you know, and people come up and say, the Lord's telling me you live, and start giving your address and Social Security number. Well, that doesn't mean it's God. Must be God. What could be familiar spirit? You better be careful what you allow in your heart. You better have enough word in you that the Holy Spirit can say, that's not me. Well, let me do this. And all of a sudden, and then they manipulate you. Listen, cults are built on 2% truth and 90% of error. They hook you on an obscure truth, and then you think everything they say and do must be right, and then they lead you down the wrong path. We have to have them both, church. We have to have the word. You need the word in your heart and your life, but we can't leave out the things of the Spirit. And we need the things of the Spirit, but we can't leave the word out. Oh, I pray, I intercede, I'm an intercessor. Pastor, I'm an intercessor. I'm the best intercessor you've got. I pray 18 hours a day. I'm an intercessor. Praise God, we need more intercessors. But if you don't know the word, you're going to get flaky. You're gonna be flighty. You're not gonna be able to carry any weight. Did you hear me? Yeah. We need them both. It's a balance. We need them both. It's a balance. It's amazing to me. People want to operate in the anointing, but they can't do practical basics. It's like trying to do college classes. You haven't even learned how to add. We have to build on it. We need both. We need. And that comes from the combination of the Word of God and also being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and developing that in our life. But that's part of maturity. And you can do it. We all can do it. Amen?
Amen.
Do you receive anything from that today?
Yes.
Lord, give the Lord a hand clap. Praise. You're done.